Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. Kicking off our show today, we're going to hear about a blind soccer demonstration. We're going to get a couple of different perspectives on that. First up, we'll hear from John Fernall.
With
John Fernall.
He's going to be telling us a little bit today about the prospect of blind soccer. So what can you tell me about it?
Well, I started, I should start at the beginning. During the Pan Am Games, Canada was in every sport except for one, and that was blind soccer as part of the para grouping. We, as a result, the equipment from the Pan Am Games was handed out to special needs teams around the province. And they handed out blind soccer balls, of which I had never seen. We started, when I showed my coaches, they all said, when are we going to start? And as of May 27th, we'll be having our first blind program practice.
So, the sport itself, how does it compare with its able-bodied equivalent?
If you go on Blind Soccer Ontario, the Pan Am finals are on there, and it is a game between Brazil and Argentina, and you wouldn't know that these gentlemen had anything wrong.
So, in your time with the sport, have you seen any challenges in the preparation for players to get out there and do their thing?
The rules read that you're supposed to use a walled area. It's supposed to be a minimum of 4 feet high, and there is no such thing in the city of Kitchener except for one of the indoor soccer fields.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with disability sports, have you seen any success moment that stood out for you?
I started Special Olympic soccer in Kitchener-Waterloo in 1995. I have some of my coaches were part of my original athletes, and we've gone through hundreds and hundreds of athletes over the years. The amount of progress has been phenomenal.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for inclusion in sport, what would it be?
For every athlete that has a disability, he does something else amazingly well. They are not disabled, they are disadvantaged.
So, how has the community responded to the idea of blind soccer being added to your repertoire?
When the mayor found out that we were considering it, he said whatever it took to get this started, it would happen.
So, today you were doing a little bit of a demonstration for people at the Novelletto-Rosati complex. Could you tell me a little bit about what brought that on?
I was at an Ontario symposium for soccer in the University of Guelph last week, and they asked us to spread the word about the sport and how feasible it was. And so I just brought the ball along and the masks, and I've been showing people what it is, and the reception has been very good.
So what are the next steps toward creating a blind soccer program in Kitchener?
Our registration started the beginning of February, and I have been talking to the Blind Sports Council in Toronto, and there is a group in Kitchener-Waterloo. They have players from Elmira and Brantford and all over.
So, have you been working in partnership closely with any other organization to make this happen?
Other than Ontario Soccer Association and Kitchener Soccer Club, we've pretty well done everything on our own right now.
How are you spreading the word about this work?
Verbally, whenever we go anywhere, we either take a ball or we talk about it, and people get sick of listening to me at times.
So is there anywhere the audience can go to find more information?
As I said, Ontario's Blind Soccer Ontario, and there are 14, 16 clubs in Ontario now that have special needs programs, and right now three of us have blind programs.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
It's no problem. The pleasure is all mine. The more, the merrier.
Thank you very much.
Next up, we'll hear from one of the participants in the blind soccer demo, Rebecca Soulier.
Here with
Rebecca Soulier.
She's going to be telling us about her experience trying out a blind soccer demonstration today. So what was it like?
It was very interesting. I'd never done blind soccer before, so the way he was explaining it, I was very intrigued, and then I got to try it out, and it was actually pretty fun because the ball had a little noisemaker in it, so I could hear it, but I couldn't see it because I had on the blindfold. But it was very fun. I liked it.
So, as one who's worked with people in the health and fitness industry, can you tell me how this might compare to what we would know as able-bodied soccer?
I think it will give a different perspective of what other people go through as well, but with the fitness aspect, I think it could work on different skills such as agility and probably even a little balance too, just working in those different skills because you need to balance it.
So overall, it's a comparable sport to able-bodied soccer. You still get good workout, and it helps keep you in shape.
For sure, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, if you could send any message about the need for inclusion and for people with disabilities in sport, what would you say?
I would say that it is definitely needed. Everyone needs to feel equal and welcomed, and I think it is very important to every sport.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Next up, we have a special repeat performance by one of the show's favorite guests.
My name is Marie Romandia.
She'll be telling us a little bit more about her photography and her injuries that led to her taking up this art form. So, the last time you were here, you told the audience a little bit about your photography. So, I was wondering, what exactly led you to get into the field?
I actually was very inspired by photography because it's a form of art through my eye, and I want to freeze the moment with pictures.
So you were telling me you had a workplace injury that led you to take up photography.
Yeah, I was working for about 2 years, and I've put photography on the back burner, and I wanted to work to save money, and I fell down the stairs at work and injured my wrist, and I've been off work for 2 years now, or a year, and photography now is my passion.
So, can you tell me a little bit about some of the supports you've received for your work? How have people encouraged you?
They told me to keep moving forward with photography. Like, don't worry about working full-time now. Stick with photography. This is your dream. Keep doing it.
So, would you say it's more important that your mind is healing from the injuries through the photography?
Absolutely. I couldn't have been more happier doing this.
So, what are the next steps in your work?
I'm gonna, self-teach myself, read about it, and maybe go to school for it, and hopefully gain more perspective that way.
So if you could send any one message to the disability community about the need for them to follow their passions, what would it be?
Keep following your dreams. Don't let anybody discourage you, even if you are disabled.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Absolutely.
Marie's story has always been a great one, in my opinion. The fact is, she took what could have been a tragic circumstance, and she said, no, I'm not going to let this hold me down. She decided to create something that's truly artistic and meaningful, and it's brought smiles to a lot of people. That's how it should be in disability life. Fact is, everyone has hopes and dreams and goals all their own. Might not be a matter of making a public statement, but work with your talents and you can achieve almost anything. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Workers Action Center is a community organization of workers, students, and activists committed to improving the lives and working conditions of people in low-wage and unstable employment. Our goal is to ensure that all workers have a voice and are treated with dignity and fairness. The Workers Action Center provides a new way for people to join together to fight for fair employment. If you would like more information, please contact us at 519-252-1212 or info@wwac.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from John Fernall and Rebecca Sulier about a blind soccer demonstration. And then we heard from photographer Marie Romandia about her latest work. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Victoria Pedri, and Kira Royal will be telling us about a sign language initiative at the university. So tell me a little bit about the sign language initiative.
It started as part of our national philanthropy as a sorority is speech and hearing. So with that, we decided to go with the hearing aspect a little bit, and we thought since not many people know sign language, that it would help make our community more accessible.
So what inspired you to get into this whole arena of hearing and speech?
It did start with our national initiative that kind of fired us up. However, it became very clear that our community wasn't very accessible for those that are deaf or hard of hearing. And we also kind of wanted to break down the barrier that a disability it doesn't have to be restrictive. You can still live a full life. And we kind of wanted to show the community that, and there's nothing wrong with having a disability.
I also think that some of the girls in our sorority recently found out, about autism and about the idea that for the last quite a few years, Delta Zeta has supported the Starkey Hearing Foundation and speech and hearing, but we haven't necessarily taken it from the side of learning sign language and becoming more accessible. Mm-hmm. We've tried to provide hearing aids and raise money for the Starkey Hearing Foundation, which I think is a valuable thing to do, but we're trying to open ourselves up into this new branch, really to be more empowering and to be accessible and inclusive. And I think some of the girls in the sorority, this means a lot to them because they've had personal experiences with, like, let's say our president, Kirsten. She, for the first time, went to the President's Academy, and there's actually a Delta Zeta chapter in the U.S., and they are in ASL. The entire university is ASL. And Kirsten told us this story, and I felt like it was very powerful because, you know, here you have a Delta Zeta president, and she's a Delta Zeta sister like all of us, and she was not able to be a part of the ceremony as everyone else was because nothing was in sign language. And she's a part of the deaf community, and this really hurt her. And so Kirsten brought this story to us and said, you guys, you have to learn about Gallaudet University and how awesome they are and how Delta Zeta could be improved. And so we're taking this initiative to make ourselves more accessible to other chapters and in the community.
So how were you going about spreading the word about this work?
We are connecting with students. We're trying to connect with different student associations on campus, professors. We've reached out to political figures in our community, just really anybody that we think could really spread the word of sign language. We're trying to do awareness campaigns, so just having booths showing, you know, how you can prevent hearing loss, what you can do to make a community more accessible. So that's how we're kind of going about it.
So have there been any challenges thus far in this work?
I think one of the biggest challenges is getting people excited about it. Not many people realize how important sign language is for the deaf community and how important it is to make our community more accessible. I don't think people realize it is a real barrier in Windsor. So I think that's kind of the main barrier that we're facing.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time promoting things for people with hearing loss and raising awareness, has there been a success that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think, like Victoria was saying, when some of our sisters personally felt really connected to the story that our president told us, I think that really changed their perspective and got them excited. So then it kind of helped us spread the word more vastly and kind of in a way that was really connectable to the community.
So if you could send any one message about the need for this sort of program, what would it be?
I think I would say that you might not see it if you don't experience it, but it's there, and it's a real barrier, and it's hard to feel welcomed in your own community when you can't communicate sometimes with people, and that we need to stop looking at disability like it's something we need to fix, and rather look at it as something we can accommodate and welcome and appreciate all differences.
So, Victoria, any thoughts on this?
I completely agree with Kira. I think that being accepting and welcoming is so much more important than fixing. And I especially, Kira, you mentioned one of the difficulties we're having is getting people excited about this. And it should be something that more people grab onto and really run with, because it's a lot easier for the hearing community to learn sign language than it is for the deaf community to learn to hear. And I think that's something that people know, but they don't really think about. And they don't think about the consequences, the real life consequences that this has for the deaf community. They're isolated in a certain way, and I would really like to change that, and I think that our sorority would, and I hope that we do bring, and I, you know, I'm not going to say we're going to change all of Windsor, but I hope that the people who come to our event actually do take something away that, hey, maybe I should learn sign language, because it would make this world a little bit of a better place for some people.
Well, on that note, you don't have to change every life at once. If you change one life that goes on to change another, It is a gradual effect, but you are spreading an important message. Any thoughts on this?
I think that's exactly right. If we just impact one person's life, if we make one person feel more welcome, I think it causes a ripple effect in the community, for sure.
So what are the next steps in this work?
Well, we're hoping to have our American Sign Language class very successful. And hopefully if it's successful, we can offer it multiple times so it keeps spreading. We're also planning in the fall to have a hike for hearing. So that's raising money towards a hearing organization, either Gallaudet University or Starkey Hearing Foundation.
So in the prep for this class, have you worked with any other organizations, sort of drawing on their model any?
We haven't worked with any other organizations. However, we have had a few local nonprofits register for the class. We've had somebody from Canadian Hearing Society, and we've had, I think it was the Windsor Alzheimer Society. They're trying to get some employees to come over to the event.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
For sure. Thank you.
Of course. For more information on this class or to register, please visit.
You can actually email omicronnewphilanthropy@gmail.com, and I know this is a long name, but it is omicronnewphilanthropy@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. Amazing. It's the only word for what Victoria and Kira were describing. To create sign language class simply because they want more access in the community, because they want better opportunities for the hearing impaired community, because they recognize there is a value to the contributions of these people. They see, potentially, a person with a hearing impairment might join the sorority or might want to contribute something to what they do. It's quite a remarkable gift. I always love it when people decide to think outside their immediate needs, you know? Fact is, it's easy in society to respond to a disability when it strikes someone you know, someone you're close to. That's very common, but the fact is, disability has struck in every family line. Statistically, that's simply a fact. But to step outside yourself, to say, we just want the community to be a more accessible and a more open place, that shows a real sense of enlightenment on the part of those responsible. They're saying to themselves, we want to give you this opportunity to learn to communicate with others. We want to make it so you can reach them, they can reach you, and you can just find out what they're all about. The key to life, folks, is communication. And offering a sign language course may seem like a very simple, everyday thing. But for someone with a hearing impairment, for the very first time, is having someone understand them, being able to carry on a meaningful dialogue, can make all the difference, because they're realizing that the community wants to know more. And you can't learn about diversity or different kinds of people by just having the same old, day after day. Having a sign language course is bringing people together. It's bringing them a chance to think beyond themselves, to be prepared for that day when they do encounter someone with a disability. And we're all going to, if we haven't already in our lives. The only question becomes, how will I respond? What will I say? What will I do? Will I have the right skills and the right understanding of diversity, or Will I choose to live in ignorance, disregard anything they might have, simply because they can't hear you or hear you to a lesser degree? That does not mean these are not people worth getting to know. Some of the greatest people I've interviewed for this show have been members of the hearing impaired community. Sean Forbes, Marley Matlin, any number of people. But these are the public faces of the hearing impaired community. The truth is, it is not just about the public faces. It's not just about the household names. It's about everyone with a disability having the right and the opportunity to communicate. And a little bit of communication with someone with a hearing impairment will teach you very quickly that their condition is not their sole focus of conversation. For in fact, these are people with hopes, dreams, life experiences, they not only should have a chance to share, it is their right to share it. Free speech doesn't simply stop with verbal communication. Free speech is a matter of being able to express yourself, say what's important to you, speak from the heart. And whether you use your mouth or you use your hands to communicate it, the message is equally valid. And the question is, can we as a society have the courage to actually listen? Listening is simply a matter of recognizing what another person is trying to communicate. It's not just what you hear. It can be what you see, what you perceive, could be all sorts of things. But this initiative, this sign language class, and all related work this sorority is doing is amazing. They're bringing people together to communicate, to learn from one another, and to create a more accessible community. And there is no greater cause. These people are coming to the university to learn, but many of the greatest lessons you can learn are not those in a textbook or in a classroom. They come from experience, experiencing the richness of life, learning about different kinds of people. And it is a lesson that I do believe these good people are going to have a chance to experience. I would encourage anyone out there who wants to know more about sign language to go on, be a part of this. If you're someone with a story of disability life, write HandyLink 4, HandyLink, and the numeral 4, gmail.com. Always love to hear from you folks at home. Each person with a disability has that same right of expression, as well as communication. All of today's guests reflected that. Whether it be someone participates in athletics differently because they see the world in a way many of us do not, or whether it be a matter of taking a disability and creating art with it, or if it's recognizing equality for people and the right to communicate, and the need for greater access. One of the key points that was struck upon in the second interview was disability shouldn't be something we limit ourselves with. It should be something we work with. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.